Hello, hello, and welcome to another Eurovision for Real podcast episode. I'm your host, Alicia Michelle. I'm excited today because not only am I not alone today, but I kind of want to talk about something that, you know, I think has been creeping up for a while. It's been creeping up for a while, and it's not like something that hasn't existed before, but we're going to be talking about like when you have your favorites at Eurovision, like it's a song that you love. But then like recognizing how like sometimes you got to be realistic. You might love a song, but you have to know that maybe it won't win. And I guess the conversation is sort of like the cross section between like, I know I love this, but also like, I know it won't win. So a little bit of love, delusion, reality, and then how that sort of plays with, I would say, stand-em. Because I mean, Eminem told us about stands years ago. And yet I feel like sometimes when I'm in Eurovision spaces, it's as if people are like, how dare you accuse me of this? It's like, well, I'm not accusing anyone, but, you know, there is a reality to this. And, you know, there are songs that I love deeply, but I have to, you know, touch grass and recognize that it's not going to win Eurovision. But in so many fandoms, I think that this is a thing. And so I want to like break this down. But before we get into this conversation and before I introduce our very special guest for today's episode, we're going to have to hit that funky theme song.
Eurovision for Real with Alicia Michelle.
Yes, with Alicia Michelle and with Brooke from the EurovisionFam.com team. Brooke, introduce yourself to the people.
Hi, Alicia. I am super excited to be here with you this morning, and I'm just so excited to get to talk about my love for Eurovision with you and with everyone who's listening. I've been just ecstatic about Eurovision for about the past 4 years, and I know that if I had stumbled into it earlier, that would be the same level of excitement and the same level of just obsessiveness. For that entire time too. So I'm just super excited to be with you today.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And so we're just going to get into the discussion. And I'm like, am I in a bed music kind of mood today? I'm like, I don't know. Can we put the bed music on? All right. You know, and some people don't know this, but the bed music, I actually made this. Like this is my composition. So I just want to throw it out to people. You know, sometimes when I'm talking about music, I might, you know, it's because I've actually played an instrument and stuff. So just, you know, just big it up myself, because if I don't do it, no one else will. Okay, so Brooke, let's just kick off. What are your favorite songs this year for Eurovision 2024? What are you listening to like on repeat?
So I am at the point in this year where I've only got like three that aren't on my playlist. And we're not talking about those. So I am just saying that if you were to just throw out countries at me, I'd be like, yeah, that's top five.
I mean, this is a strong year. This is a really strong year. I don't think people recognize how strong it is, though. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe it'll take us, you know, getting on the stage. But, like, this is a tricky year to, like, call out faves because it's quality. Like, quality everywhere.
Absolutely. And in every genre and just every type of style is really represented in some way, you know, so there's something for everyone. And when you've got eclectic taste, it's just like, oh, but that's a 10. And so is this. So I've got three songs this year that I am just like, that's a perfect 10. I have no notes. I would listen to it over and over again. And that for me is the Netherlands, Norway, and Armenia. And so those have been my revolving top three.
Okay, I'm loving that. Okay, what do you feel like when you're thinking Eurovision and you're thinking faves? Like, how do you kind of figure out what your favorite is?
I mean, it's just gut, right? It's just, you hear it and the vibe is there. It connects with you and you're just like, that is for me. So I'm very strong when it comes to Eurovision in, I want to think about what I personally want to listen to. I want to celebrate the songs that I love and that I'm enjoying. And then when we get really close to it, I put on my like objectivity hat and be like, okay, is this something everyone is going to also feel the same way about? Is this something that somebody watching it for the first time is going to pick up a phone for? So I keep two separate lists, right? I have, this is my list of personally what I would vote for in what order. And then this is my list of what I think is going to happen. And so I kind of start dividing those as we get to the end of April. And especially once we've seen the pre-parties, once we've seen the semis, that gets a lot more clear to me. But for example, last year, my number one, basically from the time it came out through to voting, was Portugal. And I was just like, I knew this is not going to be the winner. But oh my goodness, wouldn't that be amazing? And it has to get through the semis, right? Like just all of those feelings of, I love this so much. It's so perfect. I'm not paying money to vote for it because I think it's going to win, but because I need to do this because I love it so much. So that's where I don't mind falling on the delusional fan side of, I'm not necessarily trying to get the winner. I just need to support the song that is connecting with me right now.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And I feel like ultimately once I've had the power to vote, aka last year with the rest of the world vote, you know, I spent most of my time, I'd say, strategic voting. And strategic voting, not for the song that I thought was the best or like going to win. Like in the semis, I was voting for the song that the songs, plural, that I really wanted to see in the final. Like that was like my thing. Like at my core, I think when I decided like, oh, I'm actually voting, I put my money behind, you know, the songs that I really did love, that I just ultimately wanted to support. It's funny because I'm trying to remind myself like at the grand final, I think I might have even given televote points to Kadia and Lorien because both of those songs I loved. But I did not vote for either of those in the semifinals. I was voting for the songs that I thought might not make it through. So I think it's interesting that ultimately it's like, okay, I'm kind of, when it comes to voting, I'm more so going, I think, not for what I think will win. I'm voting for like what I love and like kind of what I want to see advance. Did you vote last year? Because I mean, we have rest of the world vote. Did you vote last year?
I did.
Okay, I did. Okay. Do you remember? Yeah. Like, what did you do? Because I'm really trying to think in the final. I don't know. Because I know I didn't vote for like Italy in the final, but like, I think I might have given like a couple of points to Lorien and Kadia, but I'm like, but I think I might have given everything else to like Blanca Paloma. I think that's like what I did. I think I gave like all the rest to like Blanca Paloma, and that's like where I lived, I think.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how I remember thinking about it too. And it was that piece that was kind of clarifying for me as I'm voting and I'm going, seeing the results and seeing that huge gap in the televote for some of the countries I did vote for in the final, and your big two. And I was going, okay, I'm voting with my heart and maybe I need to bring my head into it a little more because I think everyone else is. It really felt like people coalesced between, it's clearly one of these two and I'm throwing my weight behind the one of these two that I really want to see win. But I think last year I still gave maybe the largest chunk went to Portugal. And I think now, for me, Italy and France both got points in the final. And I think those would be the three that I really kind of pushed anything to during the final. And it was also that piece of, I felt like Sweden and Finland were going to be fine without my points.
Yeah.
And so I was good for that. For the semis, that was super clear to me. And then even in the final, because I kind of had thought, well, I'll just push, you know, behind one of these in the final. And then I was like, oh, no, I want to see a good result. And when you saw how low the points were for everyone else, I was like, oh, nobody else was thinking about who's coming in third place, right? Like not everyone's going to win. So at some point, are you just voting to maybe get something you love up the scoreboard? because I do, my heart breaks when anybody ever has a zero, anybody gets the null points, even just when they get that low score and you're just like, that is not reflecting what they did. So I have that soft side of me that is just like, well, let me vote for, if it's a really clear winner, then how do I spread the love against everyone else who I loved?
Well, I have a question. I mean, last year, remember, we didn't have any nil points, which I think everyone was like, at least like someone went away with something, which I thought was really good. This year, what do you think? Do you think that we will find ourselves with a nil point, null points situation at the grand final?
I would think that there is at least one song, in my opinion, who, if that happened to, I would be like, yeah, that's deserved. Like, I can get why this happened. And that's Iceland. That is one of my instant skips.
Well, but do we even think Iceland is going to make it to the final? To then
get you know what? Oh, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a 0 point breakdown from the semis for them. So,
well, yes. I mean, well, last year, what was it? San Marino and Romania, I think, technically got no points in the semifinal. Yeah.
Right.
Which, let me just say this, because there was like a little controversy in the fandom last year where, and I will say I was on the podcast in question, so full disclosure, I was present. So the BBC Sounds did a podcast and they were like, and it was sort of like a bonus episode. Like, I don't even think it was one of their main episodes, because heaven forbid you have actual fans talking about Eurovision in your main episodes, but I digress. But so they did this bonus episode and it was myself, Michal O'Kane from Eurovision Hub, who is like one of my Eurovision besties. We have been roomies at Eurovision before I talked to Michal in life. So just full disclosure. So the interviewer asked the question, and it was funny because we were doing this like sort of recorded like on Zoom as well. So I almost was like, if you had saw my face when the question was asked, I was kind of like, like, oh, we're really going to ask this? So the question was framed like so. What's the worst song this year? Which I was kind of like, you know, I think the question probably was supposed to be framed like, what's your least favorite song? What song do you think will, you know, maybe perform the worst at Eurovision? Because it takes it from being not so much like personal, but it takes it to being, you know, maybe a little bit more like objective, just in the framing of the question. And it was funny because like pretty much all of them were in agreement saying, oh, Romania will do the worst. Yeah, that's the worst song, blah, 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 kind of energy. And I was like the lone person. I was like, well, like, I don't know if Romania is the worst song we have this year. I think the execution is not great, but Romania could turn it around when it comes to being on the Eurovision stage. And so then I think when I answered my question, I even said, I was like, well, the song that I think will perform the worst is, you know, San Marino. It just seems to have absolutely no momentum. And when I tell you Twitter at the, because at the time, I think it was still Twitter at the time, you would have thought that somebody had slapped their mothers. I mean, like legitimately, like someone came through the speakers of their car, slapped their mom, and then was like, what you gonna do about it? You know, because the way that people were just like, how dare they say that they're bullying this artist, blah, blah, blah. It was like all of this stuff only for them. And this is why I say sometimes like Twitter is like the worst. I mean, it is the worst of all the social networking platforms at this point. But like the way that energy can kind of coalesce just for everyone to sort of collectively have the pitchforks raised. And again, I say this as not being the target of the pitchforks being raised, because I didn't say Romania. And I think the way I answered my question, I sort of reframed it. But all of that heat, all of that, only for those two countries to be the ones that got zero, not even one. 0 points. It just shows, I mean, to me, that was proof in itself that I'm like, Twitter is a bubble. It is not the real world. And y'all were so upset about it that you wanted to like bully and attack like the BBC or whatever. And I'm not saying that that, you know, the BBC was completely correct in this. I'm not saying that. Like, they should have, could have framed the question differently. But I will also give grace and say, I think they meant to frame it differently. But here we are. And, you know, everyone's like, how dare they do this? But then y'all couldn't even pick up the phone or throw some points behind this song that you felt so passionate about defending. And that's what I think brings us into, like, a little bit of this conversation of, like, you know, for yourself, you know, Brooke, how do you kind of reconcile, like, look, I love this. I would love to see it win, but I know that it won't. How do you kind of deal with that? And do you feel like you're mindful of that when you have conversations with people? Or are you just like, I'm just going to live in the world of like what I love and just kind of put that foot forward?
I tend to live in the world of what I love, right? Like how many times in life, not Eurovision, but in life, has the outcome not been what I would have liked it to be about anything? And I, you know, whether it's, and we'll, let's keep it in the world of entertainment, right? An award show, and they open the envelope and you're like, that is your best picture of the year? Are you kidding me? Right? Like, it's that thing of, there's just things that you're never going to agree. And it doesn't mean that your point of view is less valid. Nobody's taking away the thing that you love because it didn't win the Eurovision Song Contest. You still get to put your headphones on and enjoy it. You still get to have that connection with the artist and enjoy new music that they bring out. You get to discover new things. So I tend to live in that world of, how do I celebrate things I love versus how do I make the things I love equally beloved by everyone else who I speak to, right? I'm not an evangelical Eurovision Song Contest type of fan, but I'm also not quiet about what I love, because I don't see the point in loving something and being secretive about it. Like, why would you have to hide your light under a bushel, right? Why do I have to pretend like, you know, I don't love the Netherlands this year? Why should I have to do that? Like, it's just not that way. You know, do I think Armenia is going to win? I don't. But for me, it's a perfect 10. I would put that song on and just dance and vibe and have a great time. But so I've discovered an artist who I'm going to continue to love listening to, who I am so excited to get to see them live on that stage. But I don't necessarily have to do that because I'm going to, like, I don't know, it's not a sports team. I don't think my energy is going to cause them to win. I'm from Philadelphia, so I do believe when it comes to sports, like how I'm behaving during a game I'm watching is going to influence the outcome. I don't feel that way.
Come on, Eagles fans. Woo! Fly,
there we
Eagles,
go.
Fly.
You know what I mean.
Well, but I have to say, you're preaching a little bit. You know, I love this idea of like, are you an evangelical Eurovision fan? Because I think that that is like a thing that I've talked about, you know, a little bit. And I've got an article on Eurovision fam, you know, right now. Y'all should go read it, EurovisionFAM.com. And basically it's Eurovision fans, let people love what they love, damn it. You know, I just feel like sometimes in the space, it's like, And I once I started my channel, I always was living in a world of like, we can disagree. Like, my rap at the end of my videos is like, you agree with me, drop down, talk to me. You disagree, drop down, talk to me. Like, we don't have to think the same things. We do have to be respectful. We do have to be truthful. So I've long standing said, like, you know, I will moderate my comments in the sense that, like, I will delete things that are lies and, like, name-call-y and, like, you know, profane and mean. But I don't delete comments of people saying, like, oh, Alicia, how can you think this? It's like, I just sat in a whole video, most of which are, like, you know, more than 15 minutes long, and explained why, you know, I thought what I, you know, what I thought. you now have the space in the comments to sort of make your case. And I appreciate people who do. It's like, well, you're wrong because of blah, 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 blah. Now, a lot of times it'll be you're wrong because of blah, 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 blah. And it's a lot of stuff that's like feelings, not facts. And reminder right. people, you know, feelings are not facts, right? Like feelings are not facts. I just want to drive that home. Feelings are not facts. But I think where there becomes this maybe toxicity of talking about your faves creeps out once you have people who, and I think it's when they do two things. When in order to declare your favorite, you basically kind of unfairly tear down another. And when I say unfairly tear down, because here's the thing. Let's just use this as an example. I'll try to use like maybe last year. You know, there were people who, I'm like, what's a good example for last year? I'm like, I don't even know if I can really break down a good, okay, so let's say this is a hypothetical situation. So I'm loving song number one. I'm like, song number one is so, so, so good. I love it. I think it's great. Let's say that song number one has a lot of support in the fandom. I also love it. Now, let's say there's song number two. You know, song number two is good, but it's coming from a country that isn't really good at staging. We've never heard this one singer sing live before. I could sit here and I think fairly go, look, song two seems great, love in the studio cut, but song two singer can't seem to stay on the pitch and key to sing this song. Like, so that is why I'm loving song one way more. Like, I just feel like when we end up hearing song two live, it is not going to be delivered well. That's fair. That's a fair critique. You know, I've said, you know, because ultimately at Eurovision is about how you bring the song to life. So that's a fair critique. But I think where some people get into it is they start making shit up. Like literally, I cannot say it any other way. They will make shit up. It'll become, you know, oh, you know, I saw song number one. Like, I don't know. I just get a bad vibe off of them. Like, I just feel like, you know, they just seem so into themselves, blah, blah, blah. Do you know them? When did you meet? Did you go to high school together? Was this your former best friend? You do not know that person. You cannot talk about them like that. You don't know them. Like, you don't know them. And I think that's one thing. So then you have people tearing other folks down. Then the other thing is you have the people who, and I would say your term, the evangelicals, which is so the way to talk about it. They are out in everyone's comments and all the videos that aren't talking about their fave, dropping the flag, saying, oh, this is the best song this year. And they forget. It might be the best song to you.
Right.
But, and that's fine. You can hold that. But if we're having a video talking about Armenia, why are you up in these comments talking about the UK and bathing the video in the UK flag? The thing is, I feel like that type of energy, I'll be real, it almost makes me like a song less. Because then it's like you're ramming it down my throat and trying to force me to like it. And I mean, if you try and force someone to like it, chances are they're not going to like it. They're going to be like, why do you have to force me? Let me organically come to the side of it. Because I will tell you, there are certain songs that I would say I liked. And by the end of the season, because everyone was just like, why don't you love it? I'm like, because you are acting like this. And like, right. If loving it is going to bring me closer to you, I don't want it. I don't want to be close to you. Like, because the energy that you're giving is crazy. It's giving delusion. It's giving unwell. It's giving unwell. And I want to run away. Okay, I just said a lot, Brooke.
No, but you're completely right. I mean, that's the energy that you get. Because here's the thing. You're presenting an opportunity for a conversation.
Yeah.
You've started the conversation. And this is what we're talking about. Here's the comments. So when you take that off the rails and talk about something else, and it's like, hey, go back two videos. And that's where we talked about, in this example, the UK. Your comment is so appropriate in that conversation.
Correct.
But over here, you're making it about yourself. You're making it about, you know, you're kind of turning everyone's attention about this other thing that just makes us irritated with the other thing. And so it's, again, it's, you can't, not everyone has taken an internet etiquette class. I don't, maybe that's what we need to start having people be able to pass before they can get into a comment section.
I love that. Yeah.
Right. You don't have it. It's just people are thinking about the thing they're thinking of. They're finding an opportunity. They can freely type and they're not listening to it first. They're not thinking about what it is. They're just like, oh, you're talking about broad topic that touches on this thing that is the focus of my life right now, that is the apple of my eye. Can't we just talk about this thing? Why are you ignoring this? Instead of, I scrolled down and I found where you were talking about it and I'm going to go have the conversation here. So I, you know, I just think you have to give people a lot of grace in particular. I'm going to say something that is, I'm reminded sometimes. There's, I think it's a George Carlin bit, but he talks about how, like, when you think about the people that you know, and you think about the most average person you know, half of all people are dumber than that person, right? Half of all people are operating at a less full capacity. And I'm not saying it funny. I'm not saying it as succinct in any way, but there's that piece of like, there's such truth in that. Like that is worth thinking about. Is you could have a conversation with somebody and maybe you're used to talking to people who are having a conversation and operating on a certain level. And you might have that conversation with somebody else and they haven't given it as much thought as you. They're not, they're only responding from an emotional level. There's not a nuanced take to be found here. And you can't just, it's the same thing. I can't then go to you and say like, hey, you're being absolutely erratic in these comments. I'm going to teach you how to be calm about it. You have to understand, like, it's the same way they're not going to get you to suddenly stand their favorite. I'm probably not going to be able to get you to behave by engaging with you and having a conversation about your behavior and the way you're commenting and try to get you to grow up or think before you hit enter. So, you know, you have to go both ways. And it's so easy to just like block, mute, move on when you see that person over and over again who's just bringing the wrong energy. And so that's kind of where in my like decades of being on the internet, I have just gotten so much better at like, where's that mute button? Where's that block button? How do I move on? Like this is keeps flooding my feed. I don't want to see it. I'm good because I'm just going to keep my own peace and I'm going to enjoy the things that I'm enjoying. And if you're not actually trying to talk to me and you just want to talk at me, we're good. You can keep talking at me with the same amount of attention and I don't have to see it. Mute.
Yeah. Amen. So. I'm huge on protecting one's peace. And I mean, I've even had people like where I'll tweet something and I'm big on like, there is the for you tab and the following tab. I live on the following tab. I want to see content from people that I follow. I don't want to see content from people I don't follow. If I wanted to see your content, I would, I don't know, follow. And I've had times where I've posted stuff on X and I'll get these replies to it like, ugh, what is she doing here? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what are you doing here? You don't follow me. And if I basically invoke this visceral reaction when you see my name flash up in my comments and stuff, why have you not blocked me? Because guess what? I will free you from myself and I will block you. Don't worry. I have no problems blocking people. But if you don't like my take so much, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I'm not forcing you to listen to this. I'm not forcing you to see it. I truly am not. Right, you can block me. I am okay with that. I welcome that. Like, I don't want to torture anybody. I don't want to torture people. I want people who want to be here, who want to have these conversations. And so, you know, when I'm thinking of like fandom and talking, like for me, I like hearing people who have different opinions than me. Like I love it. Like I'm kind of like, oh, what, really? I'm like, oh, because to me, it celebrates one of the big reasons why I come to Eurovision in the first place. If I just wanted to listen to like well-produced pop tracks in English, I could turn on the radio. Mm. I live in the States. I'm at Eurovision for the thing that's going to challenge me. I'm at Eurovision for the thing that's going to like push my taste and almost maybe tap dance on my taste and go, I want to make you like it. I want to make you like it. But I want the art to make me like it. I want the art to speak for itself. I don't want, you know, Tentacion XXX Ireland, Babe for You to convince me to like a song. I want the song to convince me to like it. And guess what? If I end up not liking it, XXXTentacion, Ireland, Mega Babe, 234, I don't need you. Like, it's okay. If you love it, I want you to love it. Like, that's it. Cool. Like, it's cool. Do you feel like, and I will say, I do think if the discourse keeps being this heightened, you're going to get more and more, because I feel like I'm already seeing it. You're going to get more and more people kind of falling off these platforms. I mean, I would say Eurovision Discord, I'm loving. I'm not in there heavy, but the little bits of me hopping into the ESC Discord space, I'm like, oh, I like this because there's little subjects. I can go to the subject. And if I have like something for people to know, I can go to that subject and say, hey, heads up, folks. This is like a thing that I heard. And then most people are like, oh, wow. Okay. Thank you for letting us know. Like, you know, it's just a little bit more conversational, more community based. And I appreciate that.
I think it's so important to curate where you want to have your conversations, right? And so let's be honest, YouTube, Twitter, you are screaming into the void and the void is going to scream back at you. Yes. And so that's where I get it. Sometimes it is just a mute. It's a block. But sometimes like I do want to have a disagreement. Like it's okay. I want to hear your totally different opinion. I want to try to see through the lens that you see. I want to talk about why, you know, you think the production values on that particular song are perfect when I just said that the production's a mess. So like, let's have that conversation as long as it's respectful. But if you're absolutely, you know, just going to be like not talking about the thing, but just yelling about not being happy, that's fine. So I do. I have those curated spaces too. I have like, you know, little side groups of folks who it's just a private chat. It's, you know, a small message board or something where I'm like, here's a bunch of people. We don't all agree. We're not here because it's just, I'm going back to Armenia. It's not just a little board that we've set up for Armenia fans. It's not a Telegram channel. It's not something that's just about one song. It's a bunch of people who love Eurovision. We found a little place to go and be quiet about it and talk about, you know, we're not going to get huge engagement. There's not going to be 100 replies. There might not be 10, but you can talk to each other and we can comment and have fun conversations, have something that's distinct and positive, and we're celebrating what you love. I can explain why I don't love it, and we're still going to talk about the next song happily together. It's not, it's that hard piece of how do you take away, like, if something's so personal to you, for whatever reason, and when somebody says they don't like it, you hear it as, I don't like you. Right. I hear it as, ooh, this thing.
Repeat that. Right? Repeat that. That's because that's what it is. Repeat that again for the people.
It's the piece of taking something so personal that if somebody doesn't like it, you take it as if they don't like you. And that's not it. Right. It's not saying, oh, you know, Brooke, you're here. You love Norway. I think that is just awful, awful music. You are. And now I'm an awful, awful person with awful, awful taste. No, that's not it. I know my taste is absolutely elevated. Like, I am very confident in what I like, in what I love, in why it resonates with me. And honestly, I know I love things that people think are, you know, lowbrow or are just not objectively good. And they're wrong. And it's fine. You know, have that opinion. So that's, for me, it's just, you hit a point where it's, hopefully everyone can get there where you understand that it's nothing personal. If somebody doesn't like the same things as you, if somebody's going to wear a color that would not look good on you, it's not throwing it in your face. They're not saying, look at this thing I can do that you could never do. It's not about you. It's not personal. Their taste is their taste. The thing that they like or hate doesn't have to mesh with anything you do. So I don't know. I think it's hard for people to, you know, you have to get past that piece where your taste has to be represented by everyone else. And honestly, sometimes, I don't know, I'm just reminded that, you know, everybody's here for a different reason. Some people are bots. Like, that's that piece too. When I just start seeing flags all through the comments of something, I'm like, this is paid engagement as far as I can tell.
It gives bot. Yeah. Just the emoji posts do tend to give bot energy for sure.
So I don't know. It's so easy for me to just at this point, like, wash my hands of and let go and walk past things that aren't for me, because I want to spend time on the things that are for me. But it took a long time to get there, right? Like, it's not something that you can just, is your first day on the internet and you totally understand how to ignore the things that aren't for you and just go find the thing that is. It's a journey. And with all of us through life, we're always encountering people at different stages in their journey. And so maybe we're at a stage where we can connect and have a conversation. And maybe we're at a stage where I'm going to let you continue in your growth and see where you get. Maybe next year you'll be in a place where you and I are going to have a conversation that's entertaining and delightful to both of us. Maybe it never happens, and that's okay.
I love it. I love it. I wanted to leave a little bit of a space on that. I will say though, I think as a fandom, you know, what was it in 2022? Literally the EBU had to put out a statement telling people to like do less on the internet. Like, that's insane. Like the EBU, who, you know, is in charge of all of this stuff, putting on this big show, had to tell fans on the internet to calm down and like be more thoughtful about how they were talking about things. And I will say, I think the only fear that I have is, you know, for all the people who want to keep it level-headed and have discussions, they're going to leave certain platforms if they just feel like it's really toxic. And then that can create an environment where then the toxicity can fester. And then you just have these spaces where it's just all negative. And I'll be honest, I love X for many things. I really, really do. But in this sunset era of my Eurovision fandom and love for the contest, I might be sunsetting on that platform pretty soon, because it's just so
very fair.
Yeah, catch me on YouTube, catch me on Facebook, and yeah, maybe catch me on the Discord. But it's just getting to a point where it's just like, you could just have the most positive post and then some rando who hasn't even read what you said is just going to come in so off topic. Like, and then you know what? Like, no, I don't know what. And block. Protect your peace, people. Protect your peace. And love what you love. And yes, even if I say love what you love, let people hate what they hate. It's okay. It's not about, it's not about you. It's about them. And that's okay. That's okay. I don't know. Is that the best way to end it, Brooke? What do you think?
I think that's a beautiful button to put on it, Alicia. That's exactly it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me and having this really important conversation, you know, that we really need it. I mean, especially because we're in the home stretch. We're getting close. The cream is going to rise to the top, okay, at Eurovision. And there's going to be a lot of people with their feelings hurt out there. And the thing is, you can have your feelings hurt, but you shouldn't be out there hurting other people's feelings. Is that fair?
That's it.
That's it. All right. Thank you. If you haven't already decided to subscribe to the Eurovision for Real podcast, what are you waiting for? This is a podcast that you want to follow if you love Eurovision. You're going to love the podcast. We keeps it real over here, the Eurovision for Real podcast. Thank you for joining me, Brooke. If you haven't already been to Eurovision fam, That's FAM.com. It's a great site. This is not about being a Eurovision news site. It's a site that's talking about Eurovision and really trying to spark thoughtful conversations, think pieces, you know. Yeah, you got to go if you haven't already gone. And of course, events. If you are traveling to Malmö or Copenhagen, we've got some events happening around Eurovision. And also, if you are based in the States or based just in North America and you want to watch Eurovision with a group, consider coming to As You Are Bar in Washington, D.C. We're going to be having a watch party for the second semifinal. It's going to be a great time, great community. It's an awesome space. So thank you so much for listening. And I hope you have a wonderful day.